across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Coca-Cola's new 500ml bottle with an extra 20% free presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today, it's about to happen any minute now. The historic and controversial chinwag between John Howard and the Dalai Lama. We take you behind closed doors for an exclusive eavesdrop. Also today, the ugly side of footy fever, the Martin Malloy charity ball and silly noises. We want to hear them on Radio Gladiators. We'll also play Sticky Beaks, Predicto Headlines and welcome our live guest, Mr. Sport, Bruce McAvaney. Yes, it's all coming up on the program where, thanks to new legislation, we are now legally able to assist in the death of our own jokes, Martin Malloy. There it is, the tune that refuses to die, the Macarena. And which version was that, Gracie? That was Los Del Rio's little stab at it. Well, one of about 75 versions in the charts at the moment.
They're just talking in tongues, that lot. Hey, babadi, nabadu, bugger, cheesy choosers, shoes.
Well, you can do anything.
Hey, Macarena.
I haven't introduced you yet.
Oopsie.
It's Martin Malloy right around the big brown land with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke over here, the man John Howard describes as, quote, a nutter, Mick Malloy.
Who's he calling a nutter?
He's calling David Irving, the controversial pseudo-historian, a nutter. And that's the headline in the paper today. PM calls bloke a nutter. I like it. I'm giving that the thumbs up. I want to see our PM calling more people nutters. I want to see him calling more people nutbags, loopy.
He's taking advantage of the new free speech laws. That's his first gambit. I'm going to call someone a nutter because I can.
I want to see them. Yeah, I want to see him just referring to everyone as nutters. That's my dream for Australia. But you know what? Yesterday we were talking about the Sydney Swans. No sex the night before the grand final policy. Mm-hmm. And in today's paper, New South Wales Premier Bob Carr questioned this decision, suggesting that some of this country's best political performances have benefited from what he calls pre-match fornication. Is that right? So what, we can blame poor political decision-making on a lack of sheet action the night before? Gee, that Alexander Downer must be in the doghouse. What about John Howard, though? He's got his big meeting with the Dalai Lama today. Would he have spent all last night under a cold shower, do you think?
Yeah, I hope so.
Under a cold shower going, oh, I reckon that bloke's a nutter. He's a nutter, to distract him from the task at hand.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, I think that meeting's due to happen about now, actually.
Oh, yeah, whereabouts?
It's supposed to be on at some Sydney hotel. Mm. Should we cross over there?
Go on.
Because, you know, I can't imagine what John Howard would have to say to the Dalai Lama.
Mm.
Yeah, so let's go over there now.
So, Mr. Lama, have you ever been to Wollstonecraft? I'm a member of Rotary myself. What about you, Lions Club? Masons? No, of course not. How's your hotel room? Plenty of room for you to do all that chanting, Bizzo? Oh, I like your haircut. Had your ears lowered, have you? Bit of a Teddy fan from Murder One? I actually prefer keeping up appearances that high since... Oh, gee, do you get that in Tibet? Okay. Hey, you've got a travelling iron. Oh, I've got one of these. They're very convenient. Where's your hot water bottle? I never go anywhere without my hottie. Sometimes during a big speech, I'll just have it down the back of my pants and no one will know. Anyway, what's this here? Incense? Gee, I hope you're not into the Cheech and Chong gear, Mr. Lama. No, you wouldn't be. Oh, wow, a vibrating beard. Mind if I give it a go? Oh, gee, this is sensational. You've got Foxtel. Oh, I've got Galaxy myself. I like watching the Saturday night Nova Pile Marathon. I could watch Nova Pile all night. Pile? Oh, sorry, Sergeant Carter. Or camouflage your dog. You do a Nova Pile, Mr. Lama? No. So, how's it hanging? Sorry. Footy, who do you fancy in the grand final? I'm a Swan supporter myself. Come on, plugger, kick that pill. So, didn't I see you on the footy show? Well, maybe it was Sam Newman. It was someone in a dress anyway. That's on tonight. I hope Stirlo's going to do his smurf again. You people pray to a blue god, don't you? Not a smurf, though, I'm assuming, or Stirlo. So, are you enjoying my new climate of free speech? At last, we in Australia can say what we really think about all the bloody Asians, eh? Hey, dude, don't let me down. Come in any time you want, Dally. Take it. Hey, mind if I have another go on the bed? I think it's almost time for Speed Racer on Nickelodeon. Go, Speed Racer, go!
Excuse me, Mr. Howard.
Hang on. Yes?
The Dalai Lama is here.
Oh, okay, send him in, I'm ready. Do we know if he's a Gomer Pyle fan?
Commitments with Mustang Sally, requested by the Dalai Lama, and we're aiming to please the Dalai.
He's top five.
How was that historic meeting with John Howard? We're learning a lot about John Howard on this program. Doesn't mean Gomer Pyle impression. Didn't know that about
him. No, we're about to learn a lot more, I feel.
Are we?
At some stage. Tony, what was that you were saying in the last break about Bob Carr and sex?
Well,
I can't quite get my head around it.
In case people have just tuned in, of course, yesterday the Swans announced that they were going to be having no sex the night before the grand final. To improve their performance. Bob Carr says this is nonsense and has said that some of the nation's best political performances have been improved by a bit of the other the night before.
Right, right. Because John Howard, he won in a landslide, didn't he?
Yeah.
Dirty little root rat. You would have walked into his boudoir the night before the election just in time to see him diving off the wardrobe in nothing but a cape and Zorro mask with only Penthouse Pet of the Year, Chrissy Lane, to break his fall, I reckon.
You know, Mickey, normally I'd say that's a highly offensive thing to bring up on the radio, but of course it is John Howard's new era of free speech.
There you go.
He's inviting everyone to join in. And if you're not, you're just being politically correct.
Correct. Jeff Kennett. He won big time. He must have been on the job round the clock. Still is, as far as I can see, having non-consenting sex with the entire population of Victoria. That's why Bob Dole is trailing Clinton so badly. Dole can't rustle up any action between the sheets. In fact, the last time he slept with a woman, back in 56, he only got a couple of minutes in before oxygen masks dropped from the ceiling above the bed, apparently. There we go. We're learning something every day, aren't we?
After it was finished, he said, I've just got my third Purple Heart.
Always got a zinger ready to go, okay. Hasn't he, Bob?
All right.
Anyway, as you said, all this in-depth discussion is springing from the Sydney Swans sex ban, which is the talk of the town, as indeed is the now bitter feud between the AFL and Sydney over the charging of Swans star Andrew Dunkley for allegedly belting James Hurd in the head.
Yeah.
Are you up to speed with all this, Tone?
Well, take us through it.
Okay, he's been asked to appear before the tribunal. The Swans have appealed to the Supreme Court. They want the matter heard after the big game. Sydney claims it's sour grapes. They want to know why Wayne Carey isn't on charges. The whole thing has become a political hot potato that's sure to fan the flames of bitter interstate rivalry between Melbourne and Sydney.
Jeez.
Now, Tone, I don't have access to all the facts, but I'm pretty sure he's guilty.
Yeah,
and
well,
you know how I know?
How's that?
The Bronco chase. Did you see the footage? Andrew Dunkley at the wheel of a white Bronco holding a gun to his own head as he was cheered on by thousands of onlookers in a low-speed car chase.
Yeah.
Found a false moustache in the glove box, face passport. Reckons he was out the back playing golf when James Hurd was punched in the head. Trust me, Tone, this is going to be Australia's trial of the century.
Oh, geez.
And Sydney have already dropped their first bombshell.
What's that?
Just a couple of hours ago, there were incredible scenes on the steps at the Supreme Court as Dunkley made his way inside with Teddy from Murder One.
Is that right?
Nah, they're not taking any chances, Tone. Sydney's finals hopes rest entirely on the shoulders of the nuggety defence supremo, a place usually reserved for what can best be described as a 10-pound cue ball. Remember that giant runaway ball from Raiders of the Lost Ark,
yeah, yeah.
Bottled on Teddy's head.
Is that right?
It's an absolute corker. In fact, did you know, if he stands still for more than a minute in any one place, birds just start crapping all over it. How much would you give to see Teddy on Broadway in the Aladdin pants starring in The King and I? That'd be the hottest ticket in town, I reckon.
You know what? We're going to have to send this Teddy bloke a big bowl of fruit
A big fruit basket. Oh, he's been very good to this program. You were talking about footy a minute ago.
I'm on to Teddy's
we're
noggin.
Teddy.
I think big thanks must go to Teddy and the Dalai Lama. They've seen us through some lean times, Tone. But anyway, we're talking hot tickets in town, and if you're talking hot tickets, well, we're talking AFL Grand Final. And let's just hope all this is sorted out on the field, Tone. Mm. Until then, though, just a reminder, the traditional Grand Final motorcade will be on tomorrow. So if you're in Melbourne, get out and cheer the players from both teams as they make their way down Bourke Street in the open-top convertibles. Mm. Oh, everyone that is except for Andrew Dunkley. He'll be in the back of a divvy van.
Radio. This is Martin Malloy. That was Donna. I tell you what, Mickey, just for my own amusement, can I do this break as Teddy from Murder One?
Okay.
That was I Love You Always Forever by Donna Lewis and Martin Malloy. I have no further statements.
We here at Martin Malloy are proud to announce that on October the 12th, we will be holding the Martin Malloy Charity Ball to be attended by the Princess of Wales. This gala occasion will be the social event of the year, and at $2,000 a plate, we're hoping to raise enough money to pay Turkish prison officials the cash they want to get our good friend Chowie out of the big house. Should there be any folding left over, well, we've got our eye on a really cool dune buggy. Dinner will commence at 8 p.m. when the star-studded array of guests will be bibbed up and encouraged to go the knuckle on the biggest plate of tacos you'll ever clap the peepers on. And for those who've acquired the taste, we may be able to organise the odd fish finger or two. Jugs of blackberry nip will taunt you from every nook and cranny. And come midnight, we ask you to charge your glass with a drop of champers. All thanks to our brand new Method Champenois home brew kit. There's also a dodgy bowl of punch, which, if I remember correctly, was last year spiked with angel dust, thus explaining guest of honour Roger Woodward's incessant claims he was being attacked all night by giant bats. Princess Diana will officially open the ball and kick off proceedings, as tradition demands, by smashing a bottle of champagne across Molly Meldrum's head before completing her duties with a quick spin on the mechanical bull. Then, as always, our guest of honour will be shunted to the front of the dwarf-throwing queue, where she will entertain the assembled crowd by hurling the hairy little tackers round with gay abandon. She will then be escorted from the premises by a few of our mates and tied with gaffer tape to the nearest boom gate. Tickets are now on sale and must be presented at the door, unless you want a punch in the head from our doorman, Ralphie. Gentlemen must wear jacket and tie, with pants optional. For the ladies, it's strictly acid wash. So if you want to be part of this lucrative money-making venture, reserve your seat now for the Martin Malloy Charity Ball. This will be the glamour event on the social calendar. Well, my name's not Michael Flatley, Lord of the Dance.
She can't. Crowded house with Mean to Me here at Martin Malloy. And how would you like to win the 1,000,000th copy of Crowded House's recurring dream, the best of? We've got it. I don't know if we've got it in the building. It's sitting in a temperature-controlled safe in Germany. And in Sticky Beaks in the next hour, what we're doing, in case you've never heard Sticky Beaks, is we're giving you the chance to win all the Crowded House CDs, the back catalogue, but you're going into the draw for a trip to Germany where you'll have your own castle for a week. And at some point, Paul Hester's going to come in a little monkey suit with a silver tray and present you with the bona fide 1,000,000th copy of the best of.
Or it could be the ghost of Paul Hester.
Oh, really?
Being a castle. That's been known to happen.
In case he sleeps through his alarm again. That's some Sticky Beaks in the next hour. Also in the next hour, Bruce McAvaney's going to be with us. Now, I know he's busy this weekend. He's commentating. Is it the League Grand Final or is it the AFL Grand Final?
I think just the AFL Grand Final at this juncture.
Gee, he's going to be impressed by me, isn't he?
Yeah, you've obviously been boning up all night, Tone.
Okay. That's, of course, on Channel 7, the AFL Grand Final. Mackers is at the helm and we'll be talking to him in the next hour. We've also got Radio Gladiators coming up, and today Silly Noises are once again on the agenda. Mick, what have you found in the paper?
It's a very interesting story here, Tone, about this kid in America. Have you read about this? He's a six-year-old boy and he's been suspended from school for kissing a girl on the cheek. Yes, his display of affection has incurred the wrath of his principal. And you know why?
Why is that?
He had a big test the next day.
Oh, okay.
The principal said, no, not before a big test. You know the rules. It's a ban.
Yeah, fair enough.
Mind you, there's another kid in the grade who was pulling the hair and chucking rocks at him, that's what go about your business.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's a sexual harassment charge.
Is it really?
Yes, indeed. Is that madness?
6-year-old boy, sexual harassment, peck on the cheek. She asked him to.
Oh, well, there you go. And can I just ask, what's the headline?
Boy 6 kisses off good name.
Oh, well, that's not very imaginative, is it?
Well, it's not bad.
They could have done better than that.
There's still a pun in there.
Well, it's a near pun, I suppose, but what about this? See what I've got here?
Mm-hmm.
This is an envelope which I sealed last Friday. Shall we open it up?
Go for your life.
What's inside, listeners? Kitties. Inside the envelope, piece
of paper. Drum roll?
It's not that exciting, I'm afraid. It's a piece of paper, and I wrote the contents of this piece of paper last Friday. It's a little game I like to play from time to time. This is how bored I am in the spare time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little game I have played called Predicto Headlines, where I try and guess headlines from the next week's newspapers.
I get you.
And let's see how I've done. This was written last Friday. Over the next week, the following headlines will appear in Australian newspapers. Storm in a D-cup. I've written down. Because you can't go wrong with storming a D-cup.
I can't remember a week that's gone by.
Usually when there's some bra trouble.
Yep.
Of some sort, storming. Well, that one hasn't appeared. Okay, here are the proper ones. One, wild about Harry. In regard to Harry Connick Jr.'s visit to Australia. Well, I've seen that one in three different newspapers.
Well done. Week.
Wild about Harry. Check. Number two, well, hello, Dalai. In reference to someone meeting the Dalai Lama. I've seen that one twice this week.
Check.
There you go. Number three. Eastwood case ends with Clint handing over a fistful of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
Or if he wins, judge makes Clint's day. And, well, he lost, of course, and sure enough, check it out for yourself, people, in today's Melbourne Herald Sun, Clint pays a fistful of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Sydney Telegraph, you've got fistful of dollars for ex-lover. There you go. So I'm doing quite well.
Mate, you're braining them.
And number four, downer in gaff stroke bungle. Oh, sorry, I just put that one in, you know, every time I use it. It usually comes good, too. You can't go wrong.
This is Martin Malloy.
Stupidity. Animal stupidity.
Brought to you by Coca-Cola's new 500ml bottle with an extra 20% free.
The radio handbook for DJs says successful.
It's Martin Malloy. Mick, I was mentioning Alexander Downer.
Yep.
He's had a very important job this week.
What's he doing?
He's gone to a lot of trouble of getting out his pair of long pants.
Oh, yeah.
For his visit to the UN in New York, where he was leading the charge to sign the nuclear test ban treaty. And listen to this interesting detail from the paper today. Australia was given elevated status and became the seventh nation to sign. Mr. Clinton, who'd gone first,
right.
He grabbed the pen. I think it was the pen John F. Kennedy had used to sign
really?
A few important documents back in the early days. Clinton was expected to leave the hall straight after signing the treaty, but surprised staff and international leaders in the hall by stopping at the exit. He pointedly waited for 5 minutes until Foreign Minister Alexander Downer from Australia put his pen to the document. Now, what do you reckon was going on there? He just didn't want to make sure he botched it. So, oh, he hasn't got that good pen. He's not got the JFK pen. Oh, you haven't given it to him, have you? He'll break it.
Make sure he didn't put the pen on the paper and a big jet of ink came out the end and got him in the eye or something.
Exactly. Exactly. Back and to the right. Back and to the right. Okay, well, enough Downer talk because it's time for this.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Mick, earlier in the week we were talking about copyright and how you can now copyright almost anything. A lot of people are trying to copyright smells. A lot of people are trying to copyright colours. We were talking about how Cadbury want to copyright the purple that use on their chocolate wrappers. Mm-hmm. A lot of people.
Personally, I think the Phantom should have first dibs at that purple.
Absolutely.
He's got the dirt.
That's his purple. And what about Telstra trying to copyright the sound that you hear when you dial international number?
Yes,
someone picks up the phone and you hear.
Correct.
They want to copyright that sound.
Mm.
What do you make of this? I mean, will it mean that we can just copyright any sound? Will you be able to copyright sounds that your own body produces,
for example? I think that's a fair possibility.
Yeah. Have you got any that you'd like to get out of your system, as it were?
Oh, look, you know, the only sound I'd like to actually, not related to my bodily function, so yeah. I think they're already taken by more prominent members of society than me. But one I wouldn't mind doing is the half-assed applause.
Oh, yeah.
Because I take that with me wherever I go.
When
I tour live, that half-assed applause, that's mine. And I don't want to hear anyone else. It's like Michael Jackson, wherever he goes. He must have copyrighted that. Because that's all he's hearing, all the
one. That's his.
So what you're saying, Mick, is you're going to be suing the people who organise the Sheffield Shield cricket matches.
Exactly. That's a half-assed applause.
All righty. Well, today we're going to use this as an excuse for silly noises. We just want to hear your silly noises. And by way of example, who better to turn to than the man who, well, he's the proponent, the foremost proponent of silly noises in this big brown land. He's the master, the maestro of the silly noise. Are you there, Haskell Daniel?
How are you guys?
Haskell!
Hey!
Now, are you working on a few... what do you make of this Telstra business? Is that going to put you out of work?
It's ridiculous. I mean, a friend of mine tried it. He tried to patent his own telephone ringing sound, and it didn't really get much of a go. It was a bit scary. It was like a dentist drill. You know, the phone ringing was like.
Well, let it deter the prank callers.
Sort of scared them a bit away, mate.
Well,
didn't know whether to put in your ear or your mouth to answer.
There's a silly noise.
There's one to kick us off.
All right. And I'll tell you what, have you got any Dalai Lama-related silly noises for us,
Esther? Yeah, I was watching that. I was watching his sort of thing on the news. And the music in the background was pretty going. It was like... Something in the way she moves.
Yes, that's the Dalai Lama live at Budokan.
Well, it should be sung by Johnny Howard. Imagine that. Like, something in the way she moves.
Beautiful. Very moving. And what about the footy, Haskell?
Oh, yes. Big weekend in footy, eh? And, I reckon this will be a sound we'll be hearing.
Fantastic.
That's also very similar to the soccer sound effect. Do you ever watch a game of soccer, right? You watch 90 minutes of soccer and no one scores a goal, and you hear that sound when they're about to score and they keep missing. It's that... Oh, that was close, but it hit the post.
Yes, indeed. And
they wonder why they brawl.
We are
90 minutes for a draw.
I think we've asked you this before. How many hours a day would you spend in the shower cubicle at your place working on these?
Any other time that I'm not eating.
All right.
How's that?
All right. Well, your prize, as always, Haskell, is Go the Plug Fest. What do you want to mention?
Go the Plug Fest. A huge gig at the Armadale Hotel this Monday night.
That'll be in Melbourne?
In Melbourne. Yes, it's in High Street, Melbourne. And with Eric Banner, another famous impressionist.
Yes.
And Eric and I, actually, we have a lot of fun. We go on aeroplanes and we scare the flight attendants. We get on there and we do our... Eric, what are you doing? Don't put the bomb there. This is not the plan. This is not going to Lebanon. What are you doing? Put the bomb away.
Well, anything rather than the Macarena, Haskell.
Wacky prankster, Haskell.
He's still going.
Yes, indeed. Well, thanks for helping us with the silly noises. And good luck Monday night.
No worries. I'll catch you at the Armadale.
Yes, in Melbourne. All right. Thanks for that. And I think people at home are getting the idea.
What do we want? We want them just to ring in with this. Stupid, silly, irreverent noises
that they've made up themselves and do them down the phone for us. Do we have a prize? Yes, indeed. Step into the Silly Noises Prize Lounge. We've got $500 cash. And a big box of Soothers. Why? Because the team at Soothers are on board. They've said, we want to be associated with anything that's got silly noises in it.
Mm.
The Soother helps you create silly noises in its own way.
Yep.
So please, call us with the noises, get yourself $500 and some Soothers. Call us, 1-800-657-657. There you go. That's Whitney Houston making the bold claim that she's every woman here at Martin Malloy.
She is not.
Does that mean...
I'll take umbrage at that claim.
Does that mean that every woman is married to a bloke who likes to have a few too many, get on the roof of a $300,000 car and dance around with his pants around his knees?
That's why he sleeps around. She's every one. Still sleeping with my wife. Okay. Doesn't matter. She's every woman.
All right.
I'm married to every woman in the world and I'm going to have sex with every damn one of them.
All
That's
right.
What Bobby Brown.
But not the night before he plays his big match. Now, it's Radio Gladiators. We're talking silly noises. And, Em, have we got enough callers, do you think?
We've had a bit of... looking a little bit stressed over there.
We've brought out the nutbags today and we've had a bit of phone freaking. Let's leave it at that. We're going to try and cobble together a silly noises segment because we revel in pointless behaviour on this program. There's no excuse for it.
We worship at the altar of pointless behaviour, too.
We just want to hear some silly noises. Who's going to oblige Mickey?
It's Gavin. How are you, buddy?
Good, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. What are you sitting on for us in the way of a silly noise?
Oh, a pig eating.
A big eating.
Okay, it's a big one. Let's hear it.
Yep, no worries.
All right. That's a silly noise. Hey, Gavin.
Yeah?
Could you give it to us again? Just do it once more.
Yeah, no worries.
Okay. Really? And you don't think that this policy will result in more thick people being able to go to university? You don't think so?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. I'm amusing myself.
You are indeed.
All right. Going for a stretch there.
Yeah,
all right.
Wacky funster tone. You're allowed to.
Have we got Scott? Are you there, Scott?
Yep. How are we going?
Not bad. You got a silly noise for us.
Yeah. You ready for this one?
Yeah. Take it away. Gee, I'm going through the ghost train. And was that the silly noise, or was that just you being so pleased that you got onto the segment there, Scott?
That's actually my wife when I get out of the shower laughing at me.
Okay.
She's got that one trademarked.
All right.
That's so hers. Give us it once more, just for the listeners.
All right. Can we go more hysterical?
I don't know, but we can certainly come up with something. Mark, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, what are you sitting on, buddy?
I can be more hysterical than that.
Oh, I stand corrected. Give it a bell.
Got a couple, all right. And
we're on the ghost train now, T-Mart.
Okay, so you're very happy with yourself, but I ask again, will this policy result in more thick, rich people going to university? I'm going to keep pushing this barrow till it works.
It's going to come good.
All right.
Good on you, Mark. It's very versatile. Two different, heinous kind of guttural cries.
Let's go for something different, shall we? We've got Marcus on the line. Marcus, what have you got?
Okay, I've got the ultimate silly noise.
Oh, let's hear it, please.
Okay, you ready?
Yep. Gee. And how did you create this silly noise for us, Marcus?
I was drunk at a party one night, grabbed my microphone and just started doing silly noises into it.
Gee, well, you heard Haskell Daniel earlier. He's made a career out of it, so...
Yeah, look, you're no one to talk. You got started too. Haven't come a long way either.
All right, fair enough. That's
Marcus, Lord of the Silly Noise.
And do you have a title for that work?
No, I don't.
Okay, just...
You can make one up for me if you want.
Revolution number 10, something like that. All right, thanks, Marcus. Hang on the line there. We've got Jamie now. Jamie, are you going to give us something from the animal world?
Oh, yeah, dolphin.
Dolphin, let's hear that.
Okay, here we go.
Very nice. What's that flip? Danger at the old oil rig. Okay, that's a beauty, a dolphin.
What's that flip? Thick rich to get into university.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Jay. That's the best dolphin we've heard on Silly Noises. We've heard some pretty bad, not even porpoises on this segment, but that's a beauty. And finally, we've got Greg. Greg, what are you working on?
I've just knocked off my dad's false teeth while he's asleep. This is what he usually does. Just before we're about to have dinner,
yeah.
I'll see how I can go with this.
Hang on a sec. Greg, you're playing castanets with your dad's false teeth. Is that what you're telling us?
Don't tell him.
Hey, Greg, we'd give you the prize, but we're not sure whether to give it to you or your dad. He's asleep and he could win this segment.
That's right.
I think I just broke him.
You broken it?
Oh, just the end piece. It's
all right. There. You're supposed to make the noise with part of your own body or someone else's body.
All right.
Well, that's pretty good, but can we go past the extraordinary...
Marcus, unbelievable. Marcus, Lord of the Silly Boys.
Are you there, Marcus?
Hello.
Do you think you've got a second performance in you?
Okay, I'll try.
Okay, not yet. We'll take you to the break with it, okay?
Okay.
And I'll just let you know that, in fact, you've won the $500 and the box of soothers.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Mick.
And
thank you, soothers.
We'll be back in the next hour with, I don't know if he's got any expertise in the silly noises arena, but I bet he knows all the stats from the participants on today's gladiators. That's Bruce McAvaney. That'll be in the next hour. And take us to the break, if you could, Marcus.
Okay.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Coca-Cola's new 500ml bottle with an extra 20% free.
And
And in this hour of Martin Malloy, we'll roll out the baby peas. We'll step into the Sticky Beaks Thunderdome. Hey, do you remember that CD frenzy, that Kahlua CD frenzy we were talking about on Radio Gladiators? That's going off in this hour, and we're going to be crossing there live to see just what a CD frenzy involves. I'm keen to find out. And next up, we're on the yak with Bruce McAvaney, all thanks to that new 500ml bottle that's chockers with Coca-Cola. It's got 20% free on the top. That's Diesel with Tip of My Tongue here at Martin Malloy. It's the second hour. Let's get somebody else involved.
Okay.
This bloke, he just won't shut up about sport. He's the host of Channel 7's Game Day and Talking Footy, and on Saturday, he'll be part of the frontline troops calling the shots on Seven's broadcast of the AFL Grand Final. I'm not going to read out his stats. That's his speciality. So please, let's all dance the Macavena as we welcome Bruce McAvaney. Bruce, thanks for coming in today.
My pleasure, Tony. How are you going? And you too, Mick.
Thanks, Bruce.
Now, we have to apologise. The chairs aren't as comfy as you're probably used to on that Talking Footy show.
Gee, I go to sleep in that one. I mean, we absolutely sink. It's an awful couch, isn't it? We've been trying to get rid of it for ages, but we're frightened to start a fire.
You may as well host the show in one of those inflatable castles, Bruce.
It's the comfiest show on television. You'll see some terrifying footballer, and by the time they're sitting in your couch with a comfy little jumper on, they're looking like Val Dernica.
That couch, does it fold out into a divan? Do you sleep on that after the show, Bruce?
That couch actually walks itself home at night and walks itself back in there in the morning. It's got a mind of its own, I can tell you.
Yep.
Now, Bruce, are you infected like the rest of your fellow countrymen with footy fever?
Well, I feel like I am this week. This is the big week, Tony, isn't it? It's the big one, you know, the one day in September. And a bit unique with North and Sydney and North versus South and the elements coming together. So, yeah, I'm excited about this week. I'm just hoping it's not a one-sided game. I think North have got all the edge and all the advantages.
That's been the problem with recent grand finals, hasn't it? We get to the big day and there's usually one side just running away with it.
Been awful, Mick, actually. The John Kennedy quote about the rugby league, you know, the sizzle was terrific, but pity about the sausage. Well, it's a bit like that with the grand finals. I mean, we've had one decent match in about 12 years. So we do have our fingers crossed because this is the one game that goes around the world in a real sense. So hopefully we'll have a contest.
And congratulations to you because you'll be calling the big game.
Yeah.
So that'll be a big nervy night for you, I imagine,
too. Mick, I get wound up a bit.
We've noticed.
I'm excitable. It's one where you really feel the nerves on the day because everyone around you is a bit more tense and up. And the first 10, 15 minutes is a bit hairy. But, yeah, I've only done two. So it's not like you do them every second week.
And tell me, are commentators allowed to have sex the night before the grand final? Can I ask you that?
I tell you what, Mick, I hope so, because I've got plans for tomorrow night, I can tell you.
Because this is the big news. The Sydney Swans, there's been an edict, you know, no hanky-panky on the night. How do you feel about that? Is there any basis or substance to that, or is that just an old football's wives' tale?
I think it's a whole lot of crap, to be honest. Yeah. To be truthful, I you know, soccer players like to have sex 5 minutes before they play in the World Cup final. I think not having sex tonight. I don't know about you guys, but I always sleep better after a little bit of, you know.
I'd like to see the players having sex at quarter time. Be organised. Well, that could be the halftime entertainment, Bruce.
I tell you, we've got plans for halftime, but if you can do that, Mick, we're going to change them.
And then we could run a comparison on their performance before and after the antics and see whether there's anything to this theory of the Swans.
Okay, now, Bruce, I'm reading an interesting factor. It's actually in your bio. Mm. And, of course, you've been a sports nut now for so long. And it says here as a youngster, you used to call imaginary horse races on your bed using an old ruler as a whip. Now, I have to ask, are you still doing that?
Occasionally. I do it with my son now. I sit him on my lap and I'll say, you know, off and racing and Grandpa's hit the front and here comes Mummy and Sammy flying home. Sammy's taking the lead, Mummy. Like that. You know? And he jumps up and down and he does cry if Sammy doesn't win.
Right. So from a very early age, you just loved it?
I just wanted to be a race caller. I wanted to play league football, play test cricket and be a race caller all at the one time. But yeah, that's true. When I was about five, I'd belt the bed with a whip and drive my mum and dad crazy. I used to lock myself in there on a Friday night and call the whole meeting from, you know, Morfordville, and then come and have tea, and then I'll bring out a longer ruler and do the trots later at night.
And so was it exciting then when you actually got to call your first Melbourne Cup?
Exciting, nerve-wracking, all the things, you pinch yourself.
Because you can't afford to make a mistake there, can you? If you call the wrong winner or if anything goes wrong, you're going to cop it.
I always said Melbourne Cup Day, you could call for 51 weeks of the year and call pretty well. And if you make one mistake Melbourne Cup Day, you're a bloody mug.
Would you go straight home and listen to your call back?
I never heard them back. I did four, and I reckon one of them was good, and the other three were all right. They weren't great.
Ever get the urge halfway through just to send a few Cheerios?
No, I never really felt the urge to send a Cheerio halfway through. I felt the urge for the race to finish.
All right, Bruce. Well, we want to test your super brain. We want to put it to the test.
Go ahead, Tony. I'm getting very nervous now. I can tell you.
We're getting out the encyclopedias. That'll be next on Martin Malloy. You touch my... That's China Phillips. I live for you here at... Martin Malloy. And Bruce McAvaney is still with us. Bruce, people are always talking about the enormous amount of sporting information you're storing upstairs. How much swatting do you do? How much work do you spend with the nose down in the books on weekends?
A few hours, yeah. I mean, for the grand final, I've started already. This is Thursday evening. I've already done a fair bit.
Right.
And I'll do a lot on Friday night. I've got to do other things Friday night, as you know already.
Well, you're not supposed to, but okay, sure.
And then, probably on the grand final itself, 6 or 8 hours. But look, I enjoy doing research. Right. So I go about it in a way that a scholar might go about studying for an exam.
Okay, well, I'll just throw a bit of a curveball at you on the subject of cricket. This is the only cricketing question I ask on the program.
Here we go.
Ewan Chatfield, New Zealand cricketer, what can you tell us about him?
Ewan, didn't he have a heart attack or something?
Gee, that's new. That's the first interesting fact we've had about him in a year and a half. I'm adding it to the dossier. That's more than Bernie.
He was a fast bowler, wasn't he?
Oh, I wouldn't know. Nobody seems to know anything. I've contacted his parents. They can't even spell his name.
But if somebody said to you, Ewan Chatfield, you'd immediately think of New Zealand, wouldn't you?
It's the land of the long white Ewan. All right, well, that's the only sporting question I've got.
Tell us about your first Olympics, Bruce. What was Moscow?
No, 84 Los Angeles.
Oh, Los Angeles.
Yeah, the big one, for Carl Lewis, 4 gold medals.
He won't go away, will he?
He keeps coming back.
And what about Atlanta? There has been a bit of negative press. Not one of your favourites overall?
It was a bit tacky. It was my all-time favourite in terms of broadcasting the athletics. I thought they were just the best. But in terms of the city, it was a tough old town. It was a tacky old town. And they struggled with it.
And lessons for Sydney?
Plenty, I think. I think one of them is you don't do it cheaply. You know, if you're going to do something, and you build the infrastructure around it, and you build decent facilities... And decent facilities for the press. Look, Samaranch is not silly. One of his golden rules is that you make the best facilities possible for the press. You make sure that the press are happy on the very first day, because if the world's media are happy, then the messages that are coming out from that city are the positive ones that the world want to know about. And what Atlanta did, they rubbed the press up the wrong way.
Right.
And from there on in, they got very poor reviews.
So are you saying in Sydney we'll see yourself being carried in on a chaise lounge by 4 people in loincloths, grapes just being dropped into your mouth throughout the commentary, that kind of thing?
Tony, it's a hell of an idea, isn't it? It's a hell of an idea.
Table dancing going on. He's writing that down, people.
It's a hell of an idea.
And tell us about your old mate, Kieran. Is he going to go ahead in Sydney, do you think?
He's a bit of a freak, isn't he?
He's amazing.
That was the performance in terms of the Lazarus, but
it was here, but apparently in America it didn't even make the TV
didn't
broadcast.
No,
why is that? Unless you're running in the American togs, you're just not going to make prime
time.
Well,
it didn't get any airtime on NBC News, which was very, very disappointing, because in terms of the world event, the two great swimmers in the world are Popoff and Perkins, male swimmers, and worldwide he's considered to be the great one along with Popoff, so he should have got a run. Hey, Mick, I reckon that's a good... I'm not sure if he'll go to Sydney. I think what Kieran will do, I think in the next year or two, he'll be yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. And probably by about 99, when it starts to build, he'll be inspired.
Get the taste for it.
And he'll come again.
Bruce, so getting back to the football, it's grand final week. You're a television sports commentator. Have you bought your frock yet?
My frock? No, I haven't been. You guys tried it?
Well, no, you see, the thing about you, Bruce, is you've had a crack at... I remember that show you did, Season.
Yes,
You've had a go at doing a more sort of upmarket sports show.
Yes, and failed miserably. Go on.
Well, that's what I'm leading to. Do the public not want that? Do the public just want their sports personalities in dresses, running about, throwing pies at each other and painting themselves up to look like Smurfs?
Well, I think that's popular. There's no doubt about it. Gee, it's a hell of a scenario you've just painted, isn't it? God, Smurfs. Look...
Sterlo. We've seen that Sydney footy show.
That Fatty and Sterlo.
Yeah.
We saw Sterlo on the Sydney footy show dressed as a Smurf interviewing a bloke seriously about football who was dressed as Zorro. And at that point, we thought, has this gone too far?
I would have suggested Mick it had. I'm working with Lee Matthews on Saturday.
Right.
I reckon he'd belt me if I turned up in a dress, don't you?
Well, I just hope you don't turn up both wearing the same frock, because that's always embarrassing.
Hey, and I'll tell you what, Lee's got dreadful taste. If I turn up in the same frock as Lee, I'll be very disappointed.
And, Bruce, all the best of luck this weekend.
Hey, how do you spell Chatfield?
No idea. Even he doesn't know.
Good on you guys. I feel good.
Closer to free. That's the Bodines here at Martin Molloy. Thanks very much to Bruce McAvoney for coming in today. If you want to have yourselves a Mac attack, be watching the AFL Grand Final on Saturday when Bruce will be calling the shots. And, you know, he's not doing the league Grand Final on Sunday.
No, he's not.
But he will be at home doing it just with a ruler, just sitting on the couch, just calling it in the lounge room.
Go Manly, go Manly.
With, you know, one of his kids and maybe a cat looking at him with a baffled expression on their faces. And, of course, I'm sure Bruce will be headlining the commentary team when the Sydney Olympics come round in the year 2000. And that brings me to this logo. Been a lot of controversy over the Olympic logo. And if I can just pinch this paper off you. Because I found a letter to the editor column today, which amazingly didn't have a letter which started with the phrase, "Bravo, Pauline Hanson." listen to this. Says Elaine Brown of Lower Templestone, Victoria. Do other people see what I see when I look at the new Olympic Games logo? I see Sydney Zoo. Not Sydney 2000. What do you make of that?
With a big cocky sitting on top. That's what it looks like to me.
So Semeranch is now the... he's pushing the Sydney Zoo.
Very interesting. You know what it looks like to me? A doodle. It's the new Olympic doodle.
Oh.
I don't see where all the man hours are on that. Wasn't there a nationwide hunt? What's going on here? Look, I've just knocked up an Olympic logo here in my spare time. It looks like a house with a smiley face on it, but that should do.
If they called them doodles instead of logos, they wouldn't get $3.5 million for them.
That's it.
It's like that Roy Lichtenstein. Do you remember Roy Lichtenstein?
Yes, I do.
Back in the 60s, he was what was called a pop artist, and basically he'd just get comic books, choose a kind of frame with Baff or Zowie or Pow in it, and just redo it real big, and then that was art.
Mm.
And not too much actual artistic skill required, okay? We haven't heard of him.
A bit of tracing.
That's right. So Steven Spielberg set up his own DreamWorks record label, and they've decided with the other blokes that have DreamWorks with them. Mm. You know what I know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, those big three, what do you call them, doyens of the...
Katzenberg, people like that. They've set up this record label, Spielberg, a couple of other blokes, and they've decided we need a logo. They've got Roy Lichtenstein out of cobwebs. They paid him something like $5 million, and he's just drawn a music note and written the word DreamWorks, and it looks to me like a Crazy Bob Stereo Shop, and he's gone, there's my logo, there's my invoice, $5 million, thanks, I'm going back to the shed.
They spent more time filling out that check than he did actually designing the logo.
And it's a dud. It's the most pathetic, not logo, doodle you've ever seen. Yeah. Spielberg has been dudded for his DreamWorks music logo, I can tell you. Michael Gudinski would be laughing out the other side of his face.
He would indeed.
Okay, well, enough intellectual chit-chat because peace.
It's time to invade the privacy of fellow Australians as we play Sticky Beaks. Here's how it works. We need two complete strangers to call us here at Martin Molloy. During the break, Mick and Tony will pry into their personal lives and extract the information they need to pit our two beaks against each other. If you're our winning sticky beak, you'll bag the entire Crowded House CD back catalogue. And you'll go into the draw for 1 week in your very own dream house, a castle in Germany, where you'll be presented with the 1 millionth copy of Crowded House's recurring dream and be packed off to the concert of your choice. All thanks to Arc Music TV, only on Optus Vision. Oh, by the way, guys, ran into baby John Burgess down at Ugly Dave's Cigar Lounge the other night. He's saying no to everybody at the moment, but did intimate if that TV version of Sticky Beaks ever gets off the ground, he'd love to host it in your dreams.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you've had your fun.
All right, thanks, Pete. Okay. Now, look, you know, there was a TV version back in the 70s, Pete claims, Stickety Beaks. Remember that?
Stickety Beaks.
Played a little clip of it. Earlier in the year, I think. All right, we're talking about the castle in Germany. I know it's a tantalising prize, and we've probably said as much as we can about it. Mm. But I want
to
know...
Do they get to stay in the dirty rascal suite?
Is there a dirty rascal?
Well, yeah, you got a king of the castle. There's got to be a dirty rascal.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm saying, should they... We have spoken too much about the castle.
I think so.
We're really running out of things to say about the castle.
Yes, Mick, it's rascal compatible. I'll just keep agreeing.
I'd like to stay in the dirty rascal suite, please.
Yes. What about this? Who's Lolo Ferrari? Who's she? I've been reading a lot about Lolo.
A stripper.
She's from...
With humongous breasts.
That's
Steve
right.
Martin, and don't make out like you don't know.
She's, I don't know if she's...
So you queued out the front. For tickets. I saw you out the front in a sleeping bag 3 days before she came to town.
I don't know that she's from Germany. She's from Europe anyways, and she claims to have the biggest breasts in Europe, and she's been told she can't use the name Ferrari because the Ferrari motor car people have arced up.
Mm.
So hang on, aren't the Ferrari people, don't they put out that nutty calendar every year? That highfalutin kind of Norgwerk calendar.
Mm.
And they're arcing up because somebody's saying, oh, I've got the name Ferrari, I've got the biggest breasts in Europe. Quite a claim. Mm. Quite a claim. Mm.
Well, I just think I understand their position, Ferrari, because, you know, you know, we've got Ferrari the car and we've got Ferrari the dancer. And the problem here is, you know, one will appeal to kind of buff-headed blokes with small penises, and the other is a stripper. So they want to clear up any confusion.
Oh, gotcha.
So, you know, to divorce their product from that.
Hasn't Luciano Pavarotti got the biggest breast in Europe? I think he does. Now, we're not talking about enormous breasts. On the segment today, we're just we're basically prying into your private life and getting a bit of information which we will hopefully fashion into radio entertainment. Call us now if you want to take part in Sticky Beaks, 1-800-657-657.
This is Martin Malloy.
Dangerous pawns of a power so strange that no sentries can stop them. No army can destroy them.
Brought to you by Coca-Cola's new 500ml bottle with an extra 20% free.
Yes, this is Martin Malloy, where it's time for the segment that's always on the nose. It's Sticky Beaks. It's pretty straightforward. Mickey, who are today's twin beaks?
First of our twin beaks is Trevor. How are you, buddy?
I'm well, mate. How's yourself?
Oh, I can't complain. You seem pretty happy with yourself. Where are you today?
Where am I? Out at Narang, mate, working.
Narang, then the Gold Coast.
Yep.
Run into our good friend, Baby John Burgess.
I haven't seen him today, mate.
No,
sorry.
Keep your eye out. Seen his moustache?
It's on the loose. All right, Trevor, we've got an opponent for you, and it's Robin. Are you there, Robin?
I am.
Robin, where are you calling us from?
Canberra.
Canberra. And what's going on Canberra side?
Bloody cold.
Yeah, gee, have the local residents felt the effects of John Howard's new era of free speech? Are people walking around Canberra just saying whatever they want?
No.
Pretty
staid
here.
Okay.
Pretty staid. You got a meeting on there at any stage today with the Dalai?
No, I missed out this time.
Oh, well.
All right. Well, let's get this thing underway, shall we? Let's start the beaking. And, hey, what about this? Trevor, here's a question for you about Robin, and it involves the Dalai Lama. During the Dalai Lama's current Australian tour, Robin has A, attended one of the Dalai's public rallies, B, not encountered the Dalai at all, C, had the Dalai lay down his big yellow frock so she could walk across a puddle.
B.
Yes, hasn't encountered the Dalai at all in Canberra.
All right, Robin, here's your chance to even the score. Trevor's hairstyle most resembles that of A, Greg Matthews pre-op, B, Ray Martin, C, basketballer Phil Smythe.
C.
Oh, he reckons it's Greg Matthews pre-op. Isn't that right, Trev?
That sounds like it's me.
You going to get some work done?
No, not really.
Okay. Drawing up plans?
Nah. Don't need it, do you?
And I've seen a lot of people who have tried to master the Smythe look.
Mm.
You know, it's a popular look. Is it in Europe?
It is. It's very big in Europe. People are just walking into salons and going, give me the Smythe.
True. All right, here's a question for you, Trevor. While at work, Robin wears A, skirt and top, B, shirt and pants, C, nothing but pasties and a diamond anklet.
B.
Oh, no, she's going with skirt and top. And where do you work, Robin? Are you allowed to say?
Oh, I think I can. Australian Nature Conservation Agency.
Oh, right, so there wouldn't be much pasties work down there.
Keep up the good work, Robin.
Maybe on
fancy dress day. Maybe.
There you go.
All right.
As long as it was environmentally sound pasties, sure she'd be in it. Robin, during the recent legal battle, Trevor was hoping for A, Clint to win, B, Clint to lose, C, Clint to burst into a number from Paint Your Wagon.
B.
He was firmly in the Clint camp, I'm afraid. Ain't that right, Trev?
Yeah, he's a good actor.
Gee, and how did you feel about the case with the ex-girlfriend going him, saying that he'd ruined her career?
Seems to be the common trait in Hollywood, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think she was doing a pretty good job herself. Did anyone see that film she directed, Rat Boy?
Rat Boy.
I think she was bloody lucky that Clint Eastwood was paying the bills on that one at all.
That role was mine, by the way.
Right,
I fought for Rat Boy.
All right.
I was that character.
Here's a movie-related question for you, Trevor. Robin thinks The Phantom, the movie The Phantom, I think which might be opening, is it today? Around the nation. Okay, The Phantom, A, could be worth seeing. B, probably isn't worth seeing. C, looks like a great big dork in purple derps.
A.
Oh, no. She thinks it probably isn't worth seeing. Why is that, Robin?
Oh, men in purple tights don't appeal to me.
Okay.
I'm changing as we speak.
All right. You won't be watching the footy show tonight.
No.
Okay. All right, Robin, here's your chance to boot it home with a big victory during Saturday's AFL Grand Final. Trevor will be A, watching the game live or on telly, B, totally disinterested, C, reading a novel over Bob Carr's shoulder.
A.
Yes, he will. He'll be watching the game on the telly. Is that right?
Yep.
So
will be.
And guess what, people? We've got a tiebreaker. I botched this very badly yesterday. Here's my chance to, redeem myself. You know how it works?
No.
What we do...
Not a word.
Join the club. What we do is we throw a question at you. It's about me today. And when I've said the three options, you just dive in with whichever you think it is, A, B, and C. Okay, you ready, Beaks?
Yep.
All right, here we go. When he was 14, Tony Martin appeared on New Zealand television with A, Richard Wilkins, B, Sam Neill, C, Ricky May.
B.
B.
No?
B.
No, have another crack.
B.
A.
Yes! A, Richard Wilkins!
I think it was Trevor. I think we've got to give it to Trevor.
Oh, jeez.
Unless Robin's voice has just dropped a couple of octaves at the shock of that loss.
Oh, at least I got it right. Yes, I did, in fact, appear on some kind of afternoon children's program, which was hosted by Richard Wilkins, then calling himself Richard Wilde.
And
well
you're
done.
Still in therapy, aren't you?
And I had my coat over my head. I was so embarrassed. It was some kind of school film competition. And never appeared with Ricky May, sadly.
Oh, well.
Although I have been to the Ricky May room at the Siebel Townhouse in Sydney, which ironically is incredibly small.
Yes, it's like a Ricky May cramming contest must have been held in it one day.
All right. Well, the news for you, Robin, is you've got a Martin Malloy T-shirt / fashion accessory coming your way.
Oh, that should be exciting.
Okay.
Robin, thanks for playing.
And just wear that round the streets of Canberra and get back to us with the reaction. And as for you, Trevor, you've got the full Crowded House back catalogue.
Fantastic.
And you've gone into the draw for the trip to Germany and the 1 millionth copy of Recurring Dream.
Fantastic. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thanks for playing Sticky Beaks. We'll be back with more beak action at the same time tomorrow. I'm Martin Malloy.
Thank you, sir, but please don't shove your big nose in my business. Your big nose in my business. That's all. Dig that nose.
Madonna with Borderline here at Martin Malloy. Martin Malloy.
Right.
Welcome to the Martin Malloy Massacre.
Sink man.
And I'm the one massacring the end of the program.
Yeah, well, someone has to do it.
Yes, it is time for us to sign off, as I think you can tell. And you know what? A few weeks ago on Radio Gladiators, the team at Kahlua got behind us. They jumped on board. Mm-hmm. And everything was leading, if you remember, to a Kahlua CD frenzy.
Oh, yeah.
Occurring at Planet Hollywood, at Brash's Planet Hollywood in Sydney. Mm-hmm. And I understand that event has occurred today.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? Were there any injuries? Were there any fatalities? Mm. Let's cross now to a bloke from our Sydney office. Can you hear us, Nick Penn? Can you hear us, Nick?
Yeah, I can just hear you.
Is the frenzy still going on?
No, the frenzy's finished, but boy, it was a schmozzle while it was going on.
People were just running and grabbing CDs in the 30 seconds. One bloke tried to actually start up rooting the shelf itself and walk off with that.
And are these competitors or just normal customers who happened to be in there at the time?
One bloke grabbed about 20 or 30 CDs before he realised he wasn't one of the contestants. He's won a tour of the local police station and a couple of nights accommodation.
And nobody was injured?
I can only just
bear ears. Okay, that'll be the brass band you've organised to walk past you as you do the live cross, Nick. Okay, Nick, who was the winner?
The winner was Melissa Wallen, and she is from Seaford in Melbourne.
Right, and what did she bag? What was the prize?
The prize was $10,000 cash.
Hell! I think you better put her on, Nick.
Yeah, what are you going to be spending the money on, Melissa? Actually, I'm going to be blowing it on good living.
Blowing it on good living? What does that mean, Melissa?
Beg your pardon?
What does that mean exactly?
Well, just living the high life, drinking a lot of Kahlua.
All right. Well, there you go. An actual CD frenzy. Thanks very much, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
I think we can lose that now, Gracie. And what a frenzy it was.
It was all happening down there at the Kahlua CD frenzy. Yeah. What was going on in the background?
Was
the whole building on fire?
Was there a stampede? Were people queuing for... What was going on? I've got some Michael Jackson news here.
Do you really?
Go. I know we have a lot of fun at his expense, but listen to this here. Mm. Michael Jackson is not the freak he is made out to be after all.
Mm.
The pop superstar supposedly drinks only bottled water, insists on opening it himself, and will only eat certain foods. But according to Richard Allinson, a presenter on Europe TV channel VH1, this is a myth. He says when he was over in Britain doing a tour, I was at a party with him and could see exactly what he was eating from my table.
Mm.
He drank white wine and Coke and ate a chicken salad. So nothing weird in that. Yeah, he ate a chicken salad.
It threw a bizarre tentacle-like podule which emerged from his forehead, I'm guessing.
Out of the gills.
Exactly. He has his gills. Now, you know what he does, though? Well, with the food, he gets it and he swallows it. Then he regurgitates it to feed his young companions.
All right, time for us to go. Mike, hoving into a chicken salad and then just bring it up again. There you go, kitty.
As funny as it gets.
It's not weird at all.
What happened? Did I hear a balloon?
I think we're celebrating the Kahlua CD frenzy in here. And it's balloon popping madness. We got another one there, Gracie?
There goes our balloon budget for the whole year.
Well, I'm not sure what's going on, so maybe we'll just sign off. Thanks to our guests, Bruce McAvaney, Haskell, Daniel, all our beaks and gladiators. We'll be back tomorrow with Chris Isaac. Until then, in the words of Marcus, our winner on Radio Gladiators...
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with half-baked ideas and ill-conceived concepts, Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Coca-Cola's new 500ml bottle with an extra 20% free. Pete Smith speaking.